BCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
And thank you for joining us on Crosstalk, coming your way from VCY America, as we hit an issue today that is impacting many of you who are listening at this very moment. It's the push for the legalization of marijuana, hitting our country like a tidal wave. Some of you are right now listening from states in which you have already legalized both recreational and so-called medical marijuana. Other states that are listening in today have legalized medical marijuana, and others are looking at implementing one or both of these. Well, the push often starts for what's termed medical marijuana, but the ultimate goal is for recreational marijuana upon demand. States have pushed for its legalization, promising to be the cure-all for pain, also promising to add significant revenue to the state treasury and to relieve the heavy tax burden in the state. There's the promise to eliminate the black market for drugs, and on the lists go. But we're going to delve into those matters today. In addressing these issues with us, we welcome David Smith, who is the Executive Director of the Illinois Family Institute. Prior to serving with this organization, he worked for a Chicago alderman. He has over 30 years of experience in public policy and grassroots activism, has a bachelor's in political science. He's an alumnus of Family Research Council's Witherspoon Fellowship. He is frequently interviewed on numerous topics like abortion, sex education, pornography, gambling, and our topic today, marijuana. Dave, good to have you with us on Crosstalk.
Hello, Jim. I'm a big fan of Crosstalk, so I'm glad to be here.
Well, thank you for all the research and that your organization has conducted, and we're going to delve right into it as we take a look at the map. I mean, what do we have, about 10 states that have already legalized marijuana? When did all of this begin? What was the catalyst that started this push going?
Well, I can tell you, in Illinois, they have been trying to legalize marijuana, at least medicinally, since 2003. And they got their goal. They passed it in 2013, so 10 years. And then it went into effect in 2014 here in Illinois. And 5 years later, they're back saying, well, that's not enough. And the interesting thing, Jim, is when they first passed the medical marijuana here in Illinois, they had a limited number of conditions that it could be used for. But every General Assembly year that has gone by, they have opened that up to more and more and more conditions. And I like to say, if you can't qualify for medical marijuana in the state of Illinois, there's something wrong with you.
Oh, my. Well, you know, we hear this big push for the legalization for medical purposes, and it's often billed as being medical marijuana, but address this issue, because many take this many have said, well, it's only marijuana that's going to provide true relief from pain. So deal with this. Look, what are some of these claims that we're told, and let's talk about the medical side of marijuana.
Sure. So first of all, our official position is that eating or smoking raw, crude marijuana is not medicine. I mean, it's absolutely ridiculous to consider that eating a raw plant that isn't pharmaceutical, isn't dispensed, isn't measured, given in a prescribed dose, can be considered. I mean, it would be as ridiculous as eating mold and calling that penicillin, right? And so first of all, we've got to deal with that issue. And then secondly, there are derivatives that the FDA, the medical experts, the scientific experts at the FDA have approved. Marinol is one of them. It's a derivative, but it doesn't get you high. And all the experts are looking at the CBD within a marijuana plant and saying, hey, this is the real medical benefit in this plant. And I'm sure they're going to have additional pharmaceuticals coming out and being developed in the future using, you know, marijuana plants, hemp. But it's the THC that is being sought after and being made hybrid and stronger. They are, I'm blanking on the name of the word, but they're making these hybrids so that they have higher levels of THC which is the product that actually gets you high. And in the 70s, in the 80s, the Cheech and Chong marijuana, as I like to say, was usually about 2 to 3% THC. Today's marijuana, according to our friends in Colorado, you cannot find marijuana products in that state, which it's been legal since 2013, with under 25% THC. So these are really strong doses, and it's having a tremendous negative effect on people's health. And that is something that, you know, we have to look at.
So what about the pain issue? Is there a pain relief benefit that comes from smoking marijuana?
Anecdotally, people will tell us yes. However, I have medical board people, medical doctors on my board of directors who say that there are thousands of pain regimens out there. And if somebody says that they've tried everything, they're lying to you, and that this is the only thing that gives them relief. So I'm not a medical guy, so I can't tell you definitively, but I can tell you that THC does get you intoxicated, does change your mental acuity, and has negative effects on you.
Okay, so we're hearing a lot today about the CBD oils. Is there a concern there?
There is. It's not as strong as the other products, but the CBD, even the stuff that's being sold in, for example, Whole Foods stores, has a small amount of THC in it. So if you're concerned about getting intoxicated, you can, depending on the amount you're eating, ingesting, or even putting on your skin topically, you still can be affected by this oil, by this product that's being infused in the food or whatever other products you might be using. So be very, very careful. Even if it says CBD oil, know that there is some THC in there.
So we have some, I think it's close to 22 states or so that have legalized marijuana for medical purposes.
Yep.
And then another 10 states on top, that's over half the country. Another 10 states have recreational marijuana is legalized. So with that all being said, the aspect of medical marijuana has often been the open door, the camel's nose in the tent to get to the recreational marijuana, has it not?
It is, absolutely. And, we warned early on this is just a stepping stone to make people feel comfortable with what they're doing and how they're rolling it out. And now all pretenses are gone if you think about it. Your state, even Wisconsin, is thinking about legalizing recreational marijuana, correct?
Starting with medicinal, but the ultimate goal by our new governor is for recreational use of marijuana, yes.
Well, when we started, they promised that this was going to be sufficient here in Illinois, just medical marijuana. And 5 years later, here we are considering this product because, well, it's going to solve all kinds of revenue problems for the state of Illinois.
Yeah, and we'll talk about the revenue side, but marijuana itself, some will point back to the 60s, Dave, the days of Woodstock, saying, hey, everyone was doing it, which we know they weren't, but they'll say everyone was doing it, there was no harm. So I'd like you to highlight again the marijuana of yesteryear compared to the marijuana of today.
Right, the Cheech and Chong marijuana, as I like to call it, you know, and of course they even tried to soften it with Hollywood, right? It makes you funny, it makes you laugh, it makes you have the munchies and all that stuff. Well, that was only 1 to 2% THC. Today's marijuana can be between 20 and 80% THC, and now they're developing a new strain, called waxes or dabs or shatter, where it's super concentrated, 95 to 100% THC.
Wow.
And this stuff is literally knocking people on their keister after they've had some of this. We've had a case, an emergency room doctor who testified for IFI come out and tell us that they've had people in comas as a result of having this product as long as 3 days, because their body was just shut down as a result of the high concentrated THC.
So when even from a medicinal purpose as well, a person can have so many plants in their possession, we don't know. Every plant has different content levels. I mean, there's not a consistent THC level even from plant to plant, is there?
That is correct. And the word I was looking for is breeding. They're breeding these plants to have the higher concentration of THC. And then, you know, obviously, you think about it, Jim, the higher concentration means you don't have to smoke as much or eat as much to get high. So that leaves you with all these additional marijuana product that you're not using. And unfortunately, that is tending to be used and sold and getting into the hands of young people or the black market.
David Smith is with us today, Executive Director of Illinois Family Institute. You just said the black market, but what we're told, if we only legalize marijuana, that way we break up that black market. It doesn't happen. The black market collapses with the sale of when we legalize marijuana for recreational use.
Well, the black market, we're being told in Washington State and in Colorado, is booming. It is absolutely booming. And you got to think about this, Jim. I mean, this is so crazy. So, if the government is going to authorize marijuana dispensaries, right, which they've done for medical marijuana stores, you've got business people, quote unquote, having to pay, workman's comp, having to pay electric bills, having to pay, you know, insurance and all these other things to keep a brick and mortar store going. Correct.
Mm-hmm.
Yet you've got these guys on street corners who don't have that kind of overhead, who can sell this product much cheaper. And, of course, since the state allows you to grow a number of plants in your own home, well, you've got a supply yourself to be able to sell. So why would you bother with the sales tax and the upkeep and the overhead when you could just sell this stuff on the street corner? And unfortunately, what we're seeing is a lot of cartels are moving in to be able to take advantage of this legalization of marijuana. They're actually buying old homes, homes that are foreclosed on and such, and moving in with a whole load of home grows. In other words, growing plants inside, which is a huge problem and a blight to a neighborhood.
I'd like to hit several things. We're going to talk about how this marijuana impacts the body, how it impacts the brain, and also how it impacts the economy. We're about a minute from a break, but let's start talking about how it impacts the body and the brain in particular. What is impacted by the use of marijuana?
Well, the first thing I think most people need to be aware of is that this affects young people dramatically. It reduces the white space in your brain and shrinks it.
Let's define young people, because I mean, we were told this can't be sold to anyone less than 21 years of age.
Well, there you go. Very good point, because it could affect people as old as 25. So your brain is still developing even at 25, and this is affecting people as old as 25 is what I'm being told, shrinking the brain and causing permanent brain damage that cannot be recovered.
Let's pick up with that after the break, folks. Amazing. I hope you hear what he is saying as far as its impact upon the brain itself. David Smith, our guest today, Executive Director of the Illinois Family Institute, as we're talking today about the push for marijuana legalization all across the nation. Back in a minute. This is Crosstalk.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, president of the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, how did Darwin come up with the idea of evolution?
Chris Charles Darwin was actually preparing to be a pastor. His real interest, however, was in the study of nature. Sometimes school kids are taught that Darwin was a believer in creation until he went to the Galapagos and saw that the facts of nature pointed otherwise. This is not true. Darwin's grandfather, Erasmus Darwin, was a renowned scientist and poet back in the 1700s. He was also a vicious anti-Christian. In 1770, he began to promote evolutionary ideas. When Charles Darwin wrote his book Origin of Species, he repeated the main examples of evolution used by his grandfather. He rejected scripture in favor of his grandfather's evolutionary ideas, and thereby affected the whole Western world. How much better if he had gone back to Genesis and seen the truth that's recorded there.
Thanks, Dr. John.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. I know some of you right now are saying, oh, I can't believe it. Marijuana, really? I mean, we did it back in the 60s. There was no harmful effects. Well, folks, we're talking about totally different type of marijuana today than what was back during the days of Woodstock. But we're talking today with David Smith, Executive Director of Illinois Family Institute, and they have done extensive research on this, and we're going to get back into the impact upon the human body and the brain. But Dave, I do want to get out. You've got a couple of websites where you really delve into this issue, and give us those sites, and people can start marking those down, and certainly use them as a point of their own research and observation.
Well, really, the main one is noweedillinois.com. It's pretty simple to remember, noweedillinois.com. We've posted a lot of good reference materials, including a lot of videos.
Mm-hmm.
We've brought in experts from Colorado multiple times over the last 12 months, trying to impact public opinion and sway public lawmakers to our side and really highlight maybe some concerns that they may have not thought of. And so if you want to hear some of the testimonies of somebody like a Dr. Karen Randall, who is an emergency room physician in Pueblo, Colorado, she has a lot of very important information to share with folks.
Okay.
So,
folks, again, that's noweedillinois.com.
Yes.
Noweedillinois.com. So let's continue our discussion here upon the brain itself. You're talking about even up to age 25, some significant hampering of brain development taking place?
That's right. We're calling it brain damage because it literally does shrink the white space in the brain. And this is something that does not recover over time once it's been damaged. That's why they're saying your brain is still developing all the way up to 25, maybe even 26 on some people. And so, you know, regular use of marijuana will shrink this and could cause up to an 8-point IQ loss. 8-point. Now, if you're just middle average IQ and you lose 8 points, that's significant.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and if you're lower on the IQ, you know, table, naturally, and you lose 8 points, you can become a very unproductive member of society and even, you know, dependent on the welfare society.
Other impacts upon the body itself?
Well, let me just move from there to psychosis.
Oh, yes.
Karen Randall, who has come in, she's kind of our source for a lot of this information, says she is frequently seeing in her emergency department psychotic incidents of young people, even, older people too, but she was given an example about a 13-year-old who had to be, a 13-year-old female who was having a psychotic break as a result of too much marijuana. And it took 5 people to hold her down. They had to put a spit mask on her because she was, you know, spitting at people.
Mm-hmm.
And they had to give her a chemical sedation to get her to be able to relax and to calm down. Another thing that she says that she's seeing a lot in her ER department, in fact, she says at least once every shift they have a patient come in with scromiting, if your listeners are not familiar, probably not, is a combination between screaming and vomiting. This is a reaction, an allergic reaction, you might say, to marijuana. And there are a lot of folks who are in denial that you can be allergic to a natural plant like this. You know, but it's happening, and she's seeing it every single shift. Which brings me to another point. In her ER, she says average wait times went from 45 minutes to over 8 hours.
Oh, my.
And it's all related to marijuana use in the county.
The state of Colorado is really our classroom of observation for this, and there are so many things coming out of Colorado that really ought to school us as to what states can expect that would go down this route.
That absolutely, absolutely. We're also seeing the effects in classrooms where parents are not even bringing their kids to school because they're busy getting high. We're seeing a tremendous uptick in homelessness in Pueblo, where people are coming to just take a part of this culture. Some of our experts have testified that you can't even go to the local Walmart without seeing somebody begging for money and for free weed.
Wow. Dave, as you know, we are promised big bucks coming into our state coffers through marijuana. I've seen this happen all over the country, and this just came out from the Wisconsin State Journal. Here's a study. Wisconsin would see a $1.1 billion benefit with medical marijuana legalization. We have seen this state after state where they promise it. They promise this in Colorado as well. Is Colorado, are these big revenues flowing into Colorado now and other states?
Well, we've got to put it in perspective. First of all, our politicians like to oversell things, all right? So the numbers are dubious in the first place. Yes, will there be a large sum of money coming in? Yes, but we'll put that in comparison to what the total budget is. In Colorado, for example, they may be receiving millions of dollars of tax revenue. However, it only makes up less than 1% of the total budget. Less than 1%, Jim. So it's not solving any of their problems or crises. They say it's supposed to go to the schools and to the roads, but the citizens out there are not seeing it. And I'll tell you, there's a big reason why. There is a social cost to legalized marijuana, and in Colorado, they've put a number to that. They say for every dollar raised in tax revenue for marijuana, it costs the state $4.55. So do the math.
That's what, to mitigate the negative effects of marijuana?
Yeah, it's the cost of the emergency personnel and homelessness programs and welfare state and unemployment and workplace accident, all these things, right? Workman's compensation. All these things have to kick in when marijuana is being widely used in the community.
So, folks, again, $1 for every $1 they gain from tax revenue.
That's right. There is $4.55 cost to implementing this program.
Another aspect of the social cost deals with traffic fatalities. Tell us about it.
Well, traffic fatalities are up big time, and I'm going to have to look for my paperwork on that. But being on the road in your minivan with your family and having people smoking marijuana on the highway with you. It affects your fine motor skills, and it could lead to serious problems on the road, and that's what they're seeing in Colorado. I can't find my number right now, but I can tell you the numbers are significantly higher than they were just 5 years ago.
Wow. And we're talking traffic fatalities. We're talking incidents of people being harmed and injured on the roads. And this is something that not only impacts the participant of the marijuana, but the victim as well, the people that they are crashing into.
That's right. That's my concerns are for my wife and kids who are going to be on the road going to and from whatever, you know, church or piano lessons or what have you. And being on a road with someone who's distracted and may have compromised motor skills. You know, Jim, that it's a really important fact that, you know, most people want to liken marijuana to alcohol, but that's one of the myths of the proponents. You know, you can take a sip of wine and not get intoxicated. You cannot take a smoke of a joint or a bite of a marijuana, you know, brownie, without getting intoxicated. And with alcohol, it is in and out of your system within 24 hours, you know, with a good functioning liver. But with marijuana, it's fat soluble. It's in your system for 72 hours or longer, and it affects your fine motor skills. So I want your listeners to think about the person who comes home on a Friday after a very stressful week and say, well, I'm just going to smoke, you know, a joint. And then they get back in their car Monday morning and head to work. Their motor skills, even though they think they're fine, their motor skills are still affected. And it doesn't take much to be in a car accident where your reaction times are delayed, you don't stop in time for the stop sign or for the car in front of you, and you have a serious accident.
You know, as we mentioned earlier as well here, Dave, we talked about the impact that this is having upon the youth. And despite the fact that the state will put in an age limit of 21 or older, we find that it is actually people starting marijuana at younger and younger ages when a state implements this.
Well, that's in part because the state, for example, Illinois and many other states, have declared marijuana to be medicine. So what is that doing to public perception? Well, I'm sorry, but I don't think, you know, Advil or ibuprofen is a dangerous product, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's because it's widely used. It's promoted as medicine. And now we're actually now going to promote it as recreational, right?
Yeah.
We're
going to
commercialize this and say, hey, this is good. Help you unwind. Well, the public perception of its risk and the harms of marijuana have gone down. As a result, usage has spiked. In the 80s, with Ronald Reagan's administration, we had Nancy Reagan out there saying, just say no. You remember the ads on TV,
yes.
Right?
That's right.
This is your brain. This is your brain on drugs, right?
Mm-hmm.
Public perception of the harms of drug use were at an all-time high, and guess what? The use was way down. The inverse is now happening.
Wow. Dave, is this purely a secular topic, a value neutral, or is there a way we should really be thinking biblically on this topic?
Boy, I'm glad you asked that, because your audience is largely Christian, and as Christians, we really have an obligation to speak out. You know, the second great commandment says to love your neighbor as yourself. And you know what? If we truly are trying to fulfill that command of the Lord, to love our neighbor as ourselves, we can't turn a blind eye to what's going on and the consequences to what's going on. And so we need to speak out so that we can safeguard our communities and culture. But it's not just, you know, the physical effects that we should be concerned about. But, you know, we've gone over that. There's a spiritual dimension. 1 Peter 5:8 warns us, mm-hmm. said, be alert, be sober. Why? Because your adversary, the devil, roams around looking for someone to devour.
Yeah.
All right? If you're smoking marijuana, if you're using marijuana, you're not sober. You cannot be alert. You are vulnerable to the attacks of Satan. And this is what's going to happen to our families, to our neighbors, to our communities, as more and more people think, well, it's harmless. Let me just have this. You're opening yourself up to attacks. You're vulnerable, and we have to understand that. And so those of us who understand the truth of Scripture and the truth of marijuana need to speak out and not remain silent.
Friends, we're going to take a break and come back, and we're just going to receive a quick update as to what's going on legislatively in the state of Illinois on this issue right now, and we'll be giving you time shortly as well to call in with your questions, brief comments on it as well, but you need to take note as to what is going on with this issue, and indeed, the Bible tells us to be sober-minded, to watch in all things, to be sober-minded, to be just, holy, and temperate, but be vigilant. Your adversary, like a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Don't be fresh meat, folks. We'll be right back.
Skeptics and critics understand the magnitude of the resurrection. They have developed numerous theories in their desperate attempts to explain away the wealth of evidence. Early Christians consistently emphasized Christ's conquering of death. Yet many in the church today only discuss this vital doctrine at Easter time, and some fail to mention it entirely when attempting to share the gospel with unbelievers. In the book, In Defense of Easter,
Author Tim Chafee has written a biblical apologetic that teaches readers how history supports the resurrection, why skeptical explanations come up short, and how the resurrection is a source of comfort. This book clearly affirms the power of the resurrection and why remembering the resurrection is not limited to a single day on the calendar. In Defense of Easter is available for a donation of $13 or more to VCY America. Call 1-800-729-9829.
This is Crosstalk on VCY America. Dave Smith with us today from the Illinois Family Institute and the website, the key site on this issue, noweedillinois.com. noweedillinois.com. They also have a number of other resources addressing many other issues at illinoisfamily.org. That's illinoisfamily.org. And since you're based there and you've been fighting this on a statewide level, tell us what's happening in Illinois. I know you've got this bill known as Senate Bill 7 going on in Illinois.
Yeah, so our newly elected governor, who just was sworn in January, has promised that this is going to be a cornerstone of his administration, legalizing marijuana and taxing it. And so he and some of the other Democrats from Chicago have been going around the state holding town hall meetings to cheerlead and promote the legalization of marijuana. Currently, it's the final bill is still being crafted behind closed doors. There's a lot of lawmakers who have concerns, and they're trying to work out all the details so it's acceptable to at least 60 House members and 30 House Senate members so they can pass this legislation. But there are concerns, whether it's the mental health aspect, the THC levels, the marketing to children, all these things are weighing in and have kind of held it up from going fast track. Now, we look to New Jersey and New York, which also made strides to legalize marijuana this year, and it stalled. It didn't go anywhere this year. And so we're hoping we get more time because we're a small Christian organization here in the state of Illinois doing our best to reach as many hearts and minds with the truth of what this policy will do in hopes of changing public opinion and flipping this to stop it.
And for those in the state of Illinois listening right now, they would be advised to be in contact with their legislators, correct?
Absolutely. Our state lawmakers are on Easter break right now. This week, they're in their home districts. If you go to ilga.gov, that stands for Illinois General Assembly, ilga.gov, you can look up your state lawmakers. Give them a call and let them know what you think about this policy.
Otherwise, calling the Illinois Legislative Hotline, I believe that's 217-782-2000.
That's correct. That's the switchboard, and they'll switch you to your state rep or state senator.
That's, again, in Illinois, 217-782-2000.
Yes.
And, folks, for more information, again, you can be in contact with illinoisfamily.org, noweedillinois.com. And those who don't have, because of rural situations, they can even call Illinois Family Institute?
Yes, absolutely. 708-781-9328. 708-781-9328. Or just visit our website, send us a message there, sign up for our emails, all that good stuff.
Okay. Well, folks, let's open our phone lines today. No doubt you may have questions on this issue. We can also take brief comments at 800-733-9829. That's 1-800-733-9829. Certainly, it's making its way through this nation. 10 states already having to legalize the recreational and medical marijuana, so-called. A number of other states that have legalized, other states considering it. The state of Wisconsin right now, Governor Tony Evers is one who is trying to push this in the state of Wisconsin. And there is also a legislative hotline in Wisconsin, which is 800-362-9472. That's 800-362-9472. But today, ladies and gentlemen, as you have questions on this issue of marijuana, whether it be that of medical marijuana, recreational use of marijuana, its impact not only upon the individual but upon a society, pick up your phone, give us a call today, 800-733-9829. Let's go to the phone lines. Our first caller is from Liberty, Kentucky. Gwen, thanks for calling Crosstalk. You're on the air.
Yes, sir. I was actually very interested on his claim that ibuprofen and such doesn't cause any harm. And he laughed and talks about all the harms of cannabis. We all know that ibuprofen actually is bad for your stomach, liver, and kidneys if used too much. But I replaced a very harmful pharmaceutical about 20 years ago with cannabis that made me have horrible side effects and honestly helped to lead to the end of my marriage. The pharmaceutical made me not care about anything. Medical cannabis helped me to focus, to also help ease depression and anxiety.
David, comment on that if you would.
Well, first of all, I don't mean to diminish, you know, the side effects of any drugs. I mean, obviously, ibuprofen does have side effects, absolutely. But if this is helping you, you're one of the very rare people in the world. A lot of folks report stress and anxiety as a result of this. Suicides are way up because of the use of marijuana. Psychosis is way up. All kinds of other mental illnesses are way up.
Depression is way up?
Depression is way up. Thank you, Jim. Yes, all these things. So the vast majority of people don't have that reaction that you're having to this product.
Yeah, and Gwen, also the aspect of being sober-minded when we know this has an impact upon the brain as well.
That's actually,
I know doctors, chiropractors, mm-hmm. attorneys. I know a lot of people, very intelligent people, mm-hmm. that use cannabis. I've been using it for 20 years myself, and I'm no dummy.
Well,
but Scripture does tell you not to be intoxicated, and there is no way that you cannot be intoxicated by using this product.
Thank you, Gwen. Gary is next in Colfax, Washington. Gary, you're on the air.
Yeah, it's Gary. Yeah, I was wondering, I've been on oxycodone and morphine for probably 10 years or more. It's for pain.
Mm-hmm.
Anytime I try to...
Keep going, Terry. I guess we lost him on a cell phone on the road somewhere. Melvin, Somerset, Kentucky, you're on the air.
Thank you for taking my call. Listen, listening to your topic, and I agree with you 100% that it should not be allowed. My wife and I and son was on our way home from church when we looked up, and there was a 350 Ford pickup, like the dualies, pulling a 30-foot trailer, and he crossed that yellow line, was coming at me head-on, headlight to headlight.
Mm-hmm.
And the only thing I can tell you is that God got any arrangements. And he crossed the yellow line, and as soon as I went by, he hit again a culvert and tore that truck all to pieces. And marijuana, alcohol, all of these things has that effect. So hang in there and do your job. I enjoy listening.
Okay, thank you for the call. Appreciate it. And let's see, I think, is that Terry, are you back with us?
Yes, I am.
Okay, go ahead, Terry.
Okay, like I say, I've been on morphine, oxycodone for 10 years, and any time I try to go off, it's so painful that all I can do is sit down. I want to get off of that, and if the non-THC CBD works, that's what I would love to do in order to get off of it, because the THC's been taken out.
Mm-hmm.
Any comments on that?
Thank you for the call.
Yeah, no, the CBD shouldn't be a huge problem. There is a small amount of THC. You can use a small amount of CBD without getting intoxicated, without getting high. Here's one point I really want to make with the pharmaceuticals and the oxycodone and the morphine. We have medical doctors supervising the use of this, prescribing certain doses, being dispensed by pharmacists. In the marijuana world, especially medically speaking, that's not happening. Doctors cannot write a prescription. They can only write a recommendation. And then you're not going to a pharmacist to fulfill these orders. You're going to someone who is not an expert, didn't go to college, didn't even get a degree in pharmaceuticals, and you're asking them to dispense you something in doses that you don't have any, you know, guidance on.
Yeah, there's a doctor in, I think it's Vancouver, I've heard from a friend that they had bone-on-bone hip, and they totally lost their pain when they took it, but it was the doctor there actually prescribed it, and they said any of this stuff you get off the internet doesn't do it, which I've experienced that.
Right.
Yeah, and with things you have to be careful, too, of, Gary, is the, you know, I heard, or I have a friend who had a friend who said this, and certainly we've played that telephone game before, but we have to really look at this. And another resource that has dealt with this is the Christian Medical Association as well, and I know have put out some grave warnings regarding this and the harmful effects, especially that THC content. Thank you, Gary, for the call. Appreciate it. Blanche is calling from Bainbridge, Ohio. Blanche, you're on the air.
Yes. I'm calling about the effects of marijuana on our children and the parents of our children that are doing that.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, Khrushchev was over here in the 60s, and he said, "I'll destroy America without firing a shot." That's what they're doing right now. They're taking our children, our grandchildren, the parents, and they're causing their brains to be destroyed and their bodies with the marijuana, and that's how they're destroying America, because our children, grandchildren, and our children's children are the ones that's going to run America tomorrow. But if they don't have a brain left and all this is destroying their brain, they ain't nobody going to be running America. They're not going to be able to run it.
Yeah.
And the evil, the ones that want this country to fall, they'll take over.
Thank you, Blanche, for that. And I know that's a concern that you've expressed here, Dave, is the what it actually does to the brain, because many primary users are less than age 25, in which brain damage actually is occurring.
Well, I'd like to, you know, comment on what she said regarding the agenda behind. Now, certainly not everybody who is a proponent of marijuana legalization is got a sinister motive. Many people have motives that are really quite, you know, good, just misguided. But the fact is, there are people like George Soros who are funding this effort, the marijuana project, and the push for legalization, who want to see not just marijuana legalized, but they want all drugs legalized. And in fact, the slippery slope, and you know, we get criticized for that, but in Denver, they're already considering legalizing psychedelic mushrooms.
Oh my.
Right? So they're already taking the next step. And so you have to ask yourself, why? Why do they want that? Well, if they can get enough people dumb and distracted and hooked, addicted. By the way, you can get addicted to marijuana. They're fostering more dependence on the state, the government. And that's what these elites want. They want bigger government, more dependence, instead of less government and more freedom.
We have Kenosha, Wisconsin. Keith, you're on the air.
I am, right now.
Yes, sir.
I just had to turn off my tuner.
Okay, go ahead, Keith.
Okay, first of all, is anybody considering that everybody that drinks alcohol is an alcoholic? I think only 10% of the people have problems with alcohol. And what about the rest of the 90%? Prohibition also has never worked, will not work. And never will work. Does
okay.
not work, and will never work.
So, are you saying, Keith?
I'm not
Keith,
an expert on marijuana or anything,
mm-hmm.
but I
obviously,
know
yeah.
drugs is a very vague word. There's many kind of drugs.
Well, we're talking about Keith. We're talking specifically about marijuana today. That is a topic.
Okay. Well, I don't like that word though, because it's pretty vague, and you know. I know what we're talking about, but...
Okay, well, that is the topic today, and the name of marijuana is not so vague. We see it. Its effects, though, are causing great harm to individuals. There's different levels of THC that occurs in every single plant that has different effects upon different people, and there's danger here, Keith, and that's what we're warning you about today. We'll be back in a minute. You're listening to Crosstalk.
For the Worldview Week in Minute, I'm Brandon House. Our website's worldviewradio.com. Perhaps you don't know his name, but he has impacted the United States of America and our educational system and pretty much every field of thought in America. His name, Joseph Fletcher, and he's called the father of situational ethics. He was an Episcopalian priest who later became an atheist. He was active in the Euthanasia Society of America and the American Eugenics Society. He signed the Humanist Manifesto too in 1973, and he published a book called Situation Ethics in 1966. He went on to help create the idea of medical ethics. How scary is that? A guy in favor of active euthanasia who worked with Margaret Sanger, who believed in situational ethics. The end justifies the means. Folks, you better be looking over your shoulder next time you talk to your doctor.
David Smith is our guest today from the Illinois Family Institute, illinoisfamily.org. But on our topic today, oh my, the extensive research that they have. You'll have videos from doctors warning about this testimony, the impacts that have gone to states that have passed this, recreational use of marijuana. The website is noweedillinois.com, noweedillinois.com. It'll help you even with issues in your own state. Dave, we had a caller here that said, you know, I don't even like that term of marijuana. And if only 10% of the people get addicted by it, maybe it shouldn't be a problem after all.
Yeah, well, and he also said that prohibition didn't work. And, you know, to that response, it just irritates me so much because people keep throwing this back at us. You know, there are 88,000 alcohol-related deaths a year in America. Please, someone tell me that's been a good thing in America? I mean, seriously, adding this additional intoxicant that's addictive is just going to help raise those numbers, more victims, more deaths, more suicides, depressions, all that. Is it worth it? And you know, the perceived risk here, what we talked about earlier in the program, is vitally important. And our governments are sending the wrong message saying this is medicine or this is recreation. Use it.
Let's go to Kevin in Richland Center. You're on the air, Kevin.
I guess all I'm calling about is, I guess I got a couple of questions. Has anyone looked at the situation in Columbine? Was there marijuana involved in that, and Colorado covered it up because they wanted to keep it legal? Now, there's a question that could be answered.
Well, keep in mind that Columbine and the shooting there happened before the legalization of marijuana there.
Well, but we're talking about the effects of it on children.
That's correct.
Okay, now here's the other thing.
The shooter at Aurora Theater out there was a marijuana user.
Yes.
Just FYI.
Okay.
The kid had a very bad car crash under the effects of it when I was 18, was almost killed hitting a telephone pole, and I was under the effects of it at that point. I've got two sisters that both have tried to commit suicide. One of them was almost successful at doing it, and I've had friends that were killed on motorcycles that were smoking it, and another friend that was decapitated in a car wreck while the other driver was smoking it, too. And I know the stuff is spiritually wicked because I've seen it in action for years.
Yeah. Thank you, Kevin, for sharing that. And what you've alluded to is tragedy after tragedy, and that's something that has been born through those states that have brought about legalization. And I know that's an area that you're warning about here today, Dave.
Yes, absolutely. Yep.
Let's pick up another caller here from, Kentucky, Liberty, Kentucky. And, Stephen, you're on the air.
Well, hey, this is Stephen. I wanted to know, do you know by chance, let's see if I can find the name here, Charlotte Figge?
No.
Charlotte Figge was born in October 18, 2006, age 12, and she had terrible epileptic seizures, and her parents were extremely worried about her. She was close to dying several times, and doctors had recommended that she tried medical marijuana, and it helped her.
Well, there's a lot of these anecdotal cases out there, but we don't set pharmaceutical or national policy on these kind of stories. You know, if these things really pan out and if they're really helpful people, then it'll be proven empirically with real science and with real medicine through you know, test and retest and test and retest. So they've been trying for years, but they have not come to the same conclusions that you have with your anecdotal evidence.
Thank you, Stephen. Phil in Delavan, Wisconsin, you're on the air.
Good afternoon, Jim, and what a great topic today. I really appreciate this. You know, the thing I'm getting out of today's show is that was so dramatic is that, from the Kenosha caller doesn't quite understand anything, is that it's almost diabolic. If you're talking about increasing the THC content up to 30 or more times
yes.
in a plant, this is like, this isn't your parents' marijuana. This is like marijuana on steroids. Mm-hmm. And if people just can passively brush that aside and not think there's some kind of an agenda to go 30 times, I mean, people, you know, the people that are critical, just use your common sense. This isn't what it used to be. I'm involved in a Utah-based direct sales company that will remain nameless, but they spent 2 years studying the actual physical benefits, and they're in a huge natural product company of cannabinoid oil when we have 0.03% THC, and it's pharmaceutical grade, and they really have a high level of FDA. And they were very reluctant, and they took 2 years to take their time to do the study. Mm. So that's what brought me into the subject. I've really never been a pot smoker or anything, but I really found out the dramatic benefits of the cannabinoid oil on the body overall and the history of how it was suppressed, maybe perhaps by the liquor industry and the FDA in the early 30s and 40s, really pre-marijuana. People were ashamed of the link between the two of them. They're like cannabis had two children, hemp and marijuana, is the way it was explained to us. So I'm just very interested to see what Bill feels about this, because I really believe and entrust the people I'm working with, and they really took their time. They weren't going to get involved until it was legal in the state of Utah, and they had to do the research before they'd ever enter into the CBD oil.
Thank you, Phil. Any comment there, Dave?
Well, you know, God has told us to take dominion, right? And so that's part of this is to develop medicine, real medicine from God's plants. I trust that we're going to get there with many different remedies coming out of this plant. But it's in its form, raw and crude form, this is not it.
Yeah. Thank you for the call. We're out of time. Our guest today here, David Smith, from Executive Director of Illinois Family Institute. Dave, take the next 30 seconds, and what do you want to leave with our listeners on this topic?
Yeah, so one more thing. In Matthew 6, the Lord Jesus teaches us how to pray. And part of this template is to pray that we're not led into temptation, but delivered from evil. So recreational marijuana, medical marijuana, is going to lead, maybe even some of our family members, into temptation, addiction, and intoxication. There's no way to avoid this truth. So if we're praying against temptation for ourselves, and of course we should be, how could we ignore how our government is placing temptation in front of our neighbors? And how could we claim to be loving our neighbors? It is absolutely vital that we speak out against this policy, because I think it will take our nation down multiple levels. And it's not good. It's not good. So please pray and act.
David, thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you, Jim.
And folks, to stay engaged on the issue, get more information. David's website, illinoisfamily.org, but on this specific issue, noweedillinois.com, or call them at 708-781-9328.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the Internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208, or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.